Welcome to the Nexus, my friend.
This may be our first recording in daylight hours.
That's true. You know, I don't know that that has always been, has that, yeah, I don't know that that's ever been the case.
Because I'm sitting here in the Nexus recording studio in Louisiana and realizing that I have the blinds open. I have an overhead light on.
Indeed. Indeed. I am sitting in the Nexus Studios in Kershaw, South Carolina, in my basement where there are no windows, watching the last 6.5 minutes of the Michigan State North Carolina Tar Heels game.
That's exactly what I was doing just before we started this podcast.
Just to give you an update, the Tar Heels have taken a 12-point lead with 6:18 to go.
And
So.
most of our listeners should know that Scott and I are both longtime, although neither of us went to the University of North Carolina, both of us longtime Tar Heels fans.
And, interestingly enough, here's the part of the show where I alienate a bunch of our listeners. I don't really care for the state of North Carolina that much.
Well, why don't you save that? Because that's going to be one of our questions later that I'm going to ask you about.
Okay, I'm going to hold on to that then. I'm excited about our later questions. So how are you, my friend? What so we are both this is an also another unusual circumstance, besides the fact that we are recording in daylight hours. We are both under which in very rare circumstances, we are both alone in our houses. Am I
Correct. It
correct with
is.
that?
It is me and the dogs and the cats, and that is no one else is at home. Brandy and Ben are out of town for the night. Jack is out for the evening, so that's the sip. This is very rare that this ever
Yes.
happens.
Yes,
I'm
agreed.
recording with the studio door open.
I mean, it's crazy. I don't want to even suggest the things that we might could be doing instead, or the things that we could be doing while we're podcasting. As we keep this a family-friendly podcast, we don't want to get into any of that. But yes, Tiffany and Delia Stone and Hadley are all in Edgefield, South Carolina, visiting my in-laws. I was there until today, but I had to come back because I have a meeting in the morning at church.
Refresh our listeners what region of South Carolina Edgefield is in.
Edgefield is situated, juxtaposed, I guess you could say, near Aiken, South Carolina, and Augusta, Georgia. It is
Okay.
it's not far from the Masters, where they hold the Masters tournament. Matter
Dare
of
I say
fact,
suburban Abbeville?
no, Abbeville's a little further away. Yeah,
Okay.
I mean, you could make the argument that all things are suburban Abbeville. That you're in one of Abbeville's further out suburbs right now, but would be a very, I don't know how long you could sustain that argument.
Wait, is
So,
I'm trying to think what is over there. Is Greenwood over in that area?
yes. So whenever we do Thanksgiving, we don't, as a rule, our family typically does not travel at Christmas time. We do our traveling at Thanksgiving. And so we rotate years. Some Thanksgiving days we spend with her family, some Thanksgiving days we spend with my family, and then whichever one we don't go to, we spend the last half of the weekend with that side of the family. And so we go from Kershaw to, let's say we're going to Edgefield for Thanksgiving. We go from Kershaw to Edgefield, and then to get to Greenville from Edgefield, you go through Greenwood. So Greenwood's a nice halfway point between where my wife's parents and my parents live.
Okay, and which is a good segue into to this because first off, I have some shout outs for some listeners out there that we have. We have
Okay.
Rusty. Rusty listens to us in Maryland. We
Rusty,
have
good to hear from you.
of course, we know Elaine listening to us in Ocean City, New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And we have Emily in Baton Rouge who's been listening to some of our episodes. We have Jim out in Salt Lake City, Bountiful, Utah. And then we have I just oh. Tara in Baton Rouge. Thank you, Tara, for listening.
Yes, all of these are great. I want to let does Rusty know that we have a trip planned through that we'll pass through his state?
Actually, Rusty will be joining us for a baseball game. So you're going to
Excellent.
meet one of our listeners. In fact, he's probably listened to more episodes of our podcast than anybody. So you will get a
Now,
chance to meet Rusty.
does Rusty prefer blue or black ink for autographs?
I'm gonna have to ask him about that.
Okay, yeah.
I know he's requested an unusually large glossy photo the size of a poster board.
Okay.
So I'll have to figure out what the best.
Of both of us or just of me?
He wants a just a really a headshot, the entire area of your face.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, okay. So almost like a fat head.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Okay. All right, I'm down with that.
So that leads us into our, we'll talk about South Carolina, the just a quick origin of our Nexus, how this podcast came to be. Scott and I met in June of 1991 at orientation our freshman year at Winthrop College.
Thank you for saying that.
And I know. Those who know, know what I just said.
That's right.
And at Winthrop College, we became friends. It was like we had like a week-long orientation before the semester even started. Came back in August, ended up living on the same floor, just a really just a few doors down. Became very, very good friends our freshman year. Probably my best friend my freshman year of college was Scott.
I'm getting a little teary here.
This is what I won't get too much into it. I had a great freshman year, and inexplicably, like a star in a sitcom that's doing great, I inexplicably just decided, hey, this is great, I'll leave. Yes. And I did that. I did that after my freshman year. Unfortunately, because I did that, and it was have no fault of Winthrop, which is a great place to go to college, great friends there. I just wanted to go to a bigger school. Anyway, Scott and I really, you know, back in the 90s, for younger listeners, it wasn't exactly easy to keep in touch like it is now through text messaging and emails. It was a long-distance phone call or you wrote letters. So anyway, long story short, time passes by from really, I think we saw each other in the mid-90s at some point. We ran into each other. And fortunately, from that time, from the late 90s, all the way through to, I think it was 2020, we hadn't spoken, hadn't seen each other. And, during that window of time, our good friend, Bridget Edwards from North Carolina.
Hey, Bridget.
Hey, Bridget. Thank you, Bridget. Bridget always would tell me, hey, you need to find Scott Whaley. Have you talked to Scott Whaley? And then one day she just said, look, this is where he is. This is his email address. Go find Scott. And so I reached out to Scott. It was right at the beginning of the pandemic. Very quickly we figured out through very lengthy multi-paragraph emails, there was still a lot to talk about. And, you know, I would encourage anybody, you know, the people who are really, truly your best friends in life, it doesn't matter how much time goes by, reach out. Because that person who was your best friend 25 years ago is still one, probably still one of your best friends today. You really do know, because there's a difference between people who are just your friends and really that they were your best friends. And so through our conversation, Scott and I would talk about a lot of stuff related to pop culture. And I was like, you know what? We really should just put this into a podcast. My son Ben, years ago when he was younger, when he was maybe 9 or 10, he started a podcast called the Bearcast, where he would just talk about stuff he liked. And that's why our logo says Bearcast on it, because I just took over Ben's spot. So when you see us and you see the bear and Bearcast on there, that's because that was Ben's podcast. We just haven't changed the artwork yet. Anyway, that's how the Nexus came about. And our dorms were on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, South Carolina. So hence the Nexus of pop culture and Cherry Road.
Indeed. So, okay. So now's the part where I get to respond to all of those things.
Yes. You can get to just like during the State of the Union address, your response.
First thing I want to say again, excellent use of Winthrop College there, Stephen. And, I also want to say that when you talked about the week-long orientation, that seems to be a thing of the past. All of my experience, you know, I have a daughter that just went to college and she applied to some different places and got invited to several different orientations. And then, you know, as you found me, through the University of South Carolina, I am an instructor at the Lancaster campus of University of South Carolina. And that's how Bridget linked me and Steve together. That's how she found me. And orientation now is usually a day or a half a day. There's never any spending the night seeming or anything like that. When we took Harper to orientation, her mom actually spent the day with her. Now they broke apart for several different things, but there's not a, that week long orientation that we experienced was, I feel like just an awesome way to get introduced to college. And I really enjoyed it.
A huge shout out to Winthrop College for that, because not only did it give experience living in the dorms, how things worked on campus, how the cafeteria worked, but you know, I think two months went by before we permanently moved into the dorms, but
yeah,
all of us that met, we were all on the same floor.
Yeah. We were all on the same page, like going into it. It was like, you know, hey, we just picked up right where we left off in June, when we came back in August, you know.
Yeah. It was a great experience. I met Rob, was one of my closest friends at Winthrop. You know, Scott had his freshman year roomed with a friend of his from high school. We met Dave and Chandler there. I stayed in touch with Rob over the summer, writing letters back and forth like the old times we did. And so that's how him and I stayed close. And yeah, it was just a great way to start college. I feel like we were already a part of the university before we even got there. And then we met Charles Davis. We don't have to get into all that, but you know, right. Charles Davis was just a great person to get to know who opened some other doors for us later. We'll just leave that at that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just a great experience. I also want to say that, you know, where you talked about just reaching out to people, and I really had to try hard not to do the reach out and touch someone, which, you know, only our older listeners will understand that. But, you know, not only did we pick up pretty quickly, almost right where we left off, we were able to see each other over the past summer. We went out to camp, in Kansas City, and took in a couple of Royals games, and you know, hung out, had a good experience catching up. And it was really, you know, the last time we were together for any length of time, we were, 19 years old. And this past time, when the last time we spent any kind of significant time together, we were almost 50.
Yeah, I was 50.
So, you were 50. I was almost 50. That's right. You had been 50 for about a month, and I was almost 50. So, yeah. So, but it was very much, you know, different activities, but same conversation, same chemistry, I guess. Yes. So, you know, it's worth it to invest in relationships like this. So, yeah, I'm. Again, I will be forever grateful to Bridget for this. And so, Bridget, again, another shout out to you. So.
Yeah, Bridget always, she's the person that always seemed to be the person from my Winthrop days that through the years I've just always stayed in touch with. I was at her first wedding. She was at my wedding. I mean, you know, she left Winthrop as well at one point. We visit each other on campus there. Just, yeah, she's been a great friend. Hopefully we can get her on I'd love to get her on the show at some point. Also, one of the voices of all time is owned by Bridget.
So, speaking of that, getting people on the show, my kids were talking today about how they really feel like we should have guests.
I would love to have some. Yeah. They have any requests?
Well, I imagine they probably want Robert Downey Jr. What kind of connections you got?
That's an ask.
Yeah. Well, I told them that, you know, until we get Mike Schmidt, it's really, it's really no sense in even talking about anybody else. Now, once Mike Schmidt comes on, then that's like, you know, that's like the dam's broken and we can just, you know, whoever and whatever.
And so
Mike is our high profile target.
Yes.
So
home runs. That'd be great. Just other quick things so people know, like the whole thing about Fancy Feast is just that's one of those things that Scott do our back and forth. The other thing is, if you know, we mentioned the name Jack McCloskey a lot. School year, Jack McCloskey. So I can give people kind of, was a guy probably 20 years old, but he looked 45, and seemingly had no sense of humor,
right,
whatsoever.
Yeah,
and so that's why that person always sticks in my mind. Is he was just like the, he was so serious and so, he looked like an old man.
Yeah. And well, and then there was the whole Jack McCloskey being his name, the whole idea that he was like a reporter out of the 1940s.
Right. I'm Jack McCloskey. You know,
the hat on and the piece of paper stuck in the hat and all that kind of stuff.
Says press on it or scoop.
Right, right. Yeah. So there's that. Yes.
All right. So go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I was going to add in, the same is true when we talk about our sponsors being Lilfords and the internet and Bluetooth. Those are not our sponsors. They are just random things that we like to discuss.
That's right. And while we're doing folks at Lilford for their sponsorship.
Yes, indeed. And our friends at the internet and Bluetooth.
Yes, absolutely.
And as well as Meow Mix.
Yeah, we love Meow Mix here at the Nexus.
We really do.
I love liver. I love chicken. Meow Mix, please deliver.
Yes.
I think you
inverted that.
I want liver. Okay. I want chicken.
I think it's I want chicken. I want liver. Meow Mix, please deliver. Because they rhyme.
Okay. I believe then at that point you'd shake the box.
Right. And
the
then
cat comes running.
Was Meow Mix, was that Morris the cat? Or was that Nine Lives?
That was Nine Lives.
Okay. And does that even exist anymore?
You can ask those people at Fancy Feast what happened there.
Yeah, they probably took care of Nine Lives, if I had to guess.
And now it's Four Lives.
Right. Right. They're expending lives quicker than they can produce them. So, right. Yes. So
on to our topic for tonight. For our listeners out there, we actually recorded an episode about Disney World probably about a year ago. And I have no idea what happened, but we recorded it, but the recording never showed up. It's the only time we've
thinking that during the recording process, we had a tremendous amount of where we couldn't hear each other.
That may have been it. Maybe we stopped. So we're going to – Scott and I are both big fans of the Disney parks. Any of you follow me on Instagram, all 60 of you. You know, I recently posted my favorite three types of park are National, Disney, and Ballpark.
And now it's the ballpark. Is that a baseball park or a ballpark, Frank?
You know, I can't eat beef, so it's just a regular ballpark.
Okay. Okay.
I foolishly thought that Phillies, growing up, we had Phillies Franks. I foolishly thought that like Phillies Franks was like a specific thing to Philadelphia, not realizing that every town had their own, like there were Braves Franks, Astros Franks.
Not
realizing it was the same thing, just repackaged. So I want to talk real quickly about we're going to talk about our Disney resumes to give our listeners some context about, you know, our experiences at Disney, when we've been there, when we started going there, things like that. Neither of us ever worked for Disney. I'm not trying to imply that. Scott, would you like me to go first or would you like to go first? Tell us about
I think you'll go first.
Okay. So the first time I ever went to Disney World was in 1980 at the conclusion of first grade. My family took a trip. We flew in Eastern Airlines from Philadelphia all the way down to Orlando. At that time in 1980, Disney World was just solely the Magic Kingdom. That was all there. I'm not exactly sure how many days we were there. I know we did other stuff in that Florida trip, but I knew that it definitely had a lasting impression on me. Things like the Haunted Mansion, Pirates of the Caribbean stood out, the tree house. I remember specifically the way the Space Mountain seats used to be configured on the ride vehicles. I remember sitting in my dad's lap. Also that my dad was a guy who was very much interested in like the way things work and are organized, and he was always obsessed with Disney's outstanding customer service and just the logistics of how Disney World worked. He always thought that was great. Then again, and I won't go through every specific trip like that, but I know we went in 83, we went to Disneyland for a day. I don't remember much of that. It was a long California trip. We went, as Scott can appreciate this, of these things not being nearly as close as you think if you're not familiar with the East Coast, we took a two-week trip to Hilton Head. In the middle of that, we drove to Orlando for a few days and visited Disney World and Epcot. Which it's not nearly as close as you would think.
No, it's not.
From Hilton Head to Orlando. That was a fun trip. Then there was a gap. And then after my freshman year at Winthrop, we went as a family, what I call our last family, true family vacation, because at that point I was close to 19. George was 20 years old at that point, halfway through college. We went to Disney World for a week. And it was just a great trip. Had a lot of fun. I remember that trip specifically. At Tom Sawyer Island, there used to be a place where you could get peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and that's all they had. And they don't. It was like called Aunt Polly's or something. That's not there anymore.
Right.
I also took a trip in the mid '90s with my friend Amy from the University of Georgia, where we just decided one night we were bored and we wanted to drive to Disney. So we loaded up the car, got a tent, and we spent $9 in a camping plot and went to Disney. And then there was we went again in I went. In 90, I think it was 98. You know, if there's kind of a pattern here, Disney was pretty new in 1980. My dad wanted to go. 84, not long after Epcot opened up, my dad wanted to see that. My dad loves zoos. Animal Kingdom opened up in 98, so we went very soon after that. Brandy and I met my parents there, had a great time. And then I won't get into all these trips, but after that, I think it was around 2005, let me think, around 2006. Maybe Brandy and I started, or 2005, we started going back to Disney. So between 2005 and 2022, which is the last time I was at Disney, I probably went 10 times,
okay,
which is quite a bit. So I estimate I've been to Disney parks between 15 to 20 times.
Okay. Let's see. So my Disney experience started probably around that 1980 time as well, maybe 79, somewhere in that neighborhood. Went with my folks, my brother and sister. We stayed at the Polynesian Resort. I remember thinking
never stayed there.
That was a pretty big doings. And when we went, there was only the Magic Kingdom at that point as well. The next time I went, I have very few memories of that, you know, the treehouse, most of the things that you just said, I probably have some recollection of. I did ride Space Mountain. I've always liked roller coasters. I've never been one to be tremendously afraid of them. I know that some kids are, but that was just not one of the things. I was afraid of many things, so I'm not trying to paint myself as, you know, some macho He-Man type person, but I was not afraid of roller coasters, and I always enjoyed them. And my family all enjoyed roller coasters, except for my dad. My mom, my brother, my sister all liked roller coasters, so we would ride roller coasters together. And so then I was able to go. Did your school? And you were up in Philly, so this might be a foreign concept for you. But did your school have safety patrols?
Yes. I was often reported by the safety patrol.
Okay. Well, I was a safety patrol.
I was definitely not a member of the patrol, as I appeared in court many times over my school career.
So I was a safety patrol, and one of the perks of being a safety patrol was that at the end of the school year, towards the end of the school year, they took a trip to Disney World. And so the year that I went happened to be the year that Epcot was opening. So it was brand new. And so we went down there, and I've still got some pictures in tucked away somewhere from the old Polaroid Instamatic camera that I took with me of things around Epcot. You know, it was very It was very fortunate that that also happened to be the year when fanny packs were in style. So I would take my pictures and then just shove them in my fanny pack, and everything would be okay.
Was that next to your a pouch of Big League Chew?
So let me ask, you're going to cause me to diverge here a good bit, but do you remember Big League Chew plug?
Yes.
The chocolate bar?
Yes.
The chewy chocolate bar?
I never got it, though, but I know what you're talking about. But
I did get it. So it was kind of like a big Tootsie Roll, pretty much.
Okay.
Was what it was.
Sounds gross. I don't like Tootsie Rolls. I know my mom's going to listen to this, and she likes a good Tootsie Roll. I do not.
Well, Elaine, I like a good Tootsie Roll. So, you know, I'm just throwing that out there. So, anyway.
What are your thoughts on, my mom's also a big fan of Good and Plenty's. Where do you stand on there?
Oh, no. We're not going to get along on that one.
Okay. Yeah, I can't. I can't do good. She likes black licorice. I just can't.
So, strangely, neither Tiffany nor I care for black licorice, Good and Plenty, that kind of stuff. But Harper loves a Good and Plenty. It's the strangest thing. So I don't know. Yeah, but no, Good and Plenty does not do it for me. So anyway, so Epcot, whatever year that was that it opened, it was brand new. I know that. I would guess probably 84. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I can look that up real quick. Keep talking.
So then the next time I went to Disney, I was I had finished college and I was teaching. And I went down to Orlando to Disney for a teachers conference that was being held there. They were doing some sort of specific training. I could not tell you what the training was, but I do know that there were, I don't know, about half a dozen of us teachers. And we went to Disney. We were able to go to Disney World for a few days when we were down there. I think it was still, I don't know. So I also would be curious while you're looking up Epcot, Studios, was Animal Kingdom? Because
Animal Kingdom, I'm almost certain, was 98. And I would put, so Epcot was October 1st, 82.
Uh-huh.
And you're asking about Hollywood Studios?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess 92. I think it was definitely in the 90s, but I might be wrong here. Maybe more like 89.
Okay. Maybe then that I went to Disney in 98 because I went to Hollywood Studios because I remember riding the Aerosmith ride and the Tower of Terror.
Hollywood Studios was not 89, and Animal Kingdom.
Remember going to Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom opened in April of 1998, and I was there, I know for sure, in October of 98. So it was pretty quick.
Okay. Then it may have been like opening. I would imagine that I was at this conference in like March. So okay. It was probably on the cusp of opening. I like to use the word cusp.
Cusp is a fun word.
Yeah, it is. It really is. So anyway, so went then. Then that was the last time that I went until we started taking our children. And so we have taken 4 trips to Disney with our children. So I've been to Disney, I guess that's a total of 7 times. So I don't have the experience that you have, but I have no Disneyland experience whatsoever. So
okay, and my Disneyland experience, I from what my brother tells me, we were there. I know we were in Mexico the day before, and I know my mom, was not feeling well. The next day we were in Anaheim at Disney. I think my brother describes it as we were there for 4 hours. I remember being there, but I don't. The only thing I remember is things like I know there was a Pinocchio ride, and it took me forever to figure out, like, did I make that up in my mind? And I didn't. It's in Disneyland. So I would love to go back to Disneyland and just take a look around and see if anything really stood out to me. I seem to remember a Penny Arcade at the end of Main Street when I was at Disneyland. Like I said, we're talking about, that's like 83, I think. Quite a long time ago. Anyway, so what we're going to do, the way we're going to break this down is we'll do, we're just going to talk about the Magic Kingdom today, and we'll go through the different lands and some other things. And then, you know, we'll other episodes, we'll touch on, Hollywood Studios, Epcot, Animal Kingdom. And then I'd even like to do just a separate one on just resorts. and see what we can say about that. So
Cool.
let's start with the welcome to the Magic Kingdom. You're parked in Double D for Donald Duck. When boarding the tram, please enter from the left side. If you leave your children on the tram, we will staple their feet to It's a Small World and leave them there forever. Thank you. And enjoy the rest of your day at the Magic Kingdom. So when, for those of you not familiar, when you arrive to the Magic Kingdom, it's not set up so you can just drive up to the front door. There is a way to do it. You can get there by bus from other Disney resorts. But most people get there by driving up and parking. And so, Scott, there's a choice you have when you pull up there. Do you like to approach the Magic Kingdom by monorail or from the boat?
Okay, so, well, let me go ahead and just kind of crush your dream here. I always come by bus because we're always taking the bus from wherever we're staying.
We're going to shut down this podcast right now and we're going to retool.
However, I have done monorail and boat because we did stay off property. And so we drove to one of the stations or one of the other resorts and neither caught the monorail in or the boat. I prefer the monorail over the boat.
So my general strategy on this is I like to, if it's not too crowded, I'd like to go on the monorail going in because it's faster, but I like to come back on the boat.
I see.
And, you know, the monorail will take you either through, I think the way you board it, it takes you through the Contemporary. If you're going into the park, and the way back out, it swings by Grand Floridian and Polynesian, if I'm thinking correctly.
Yes. I think that is perfectly accurate.
So Scott,
I love to go through the Contemporary. That's just a cool experience.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever actually set foot in the Contemporary, but I've definitely been on the monorail, and I think it is a very cool. I remember I had some kind of book before we went in 1980, and I would look at the pictures of the monorail going through this building, and I just thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And it still is. It still is cool to be on that monorail, and you're looking down at people in the lobby below you. That's just a really cool feeling.
So, fun fact about the Contemporary, they have a conference room on the bottom floor, which is where Richard Nixon made one of his famous speeches. And I can't remember if it was his resignation speech or it was what it was, but he made one of his famous speeches from there.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yep. So, anyway.
I'm going to hit the crickets button now. Crickets. There we go. Chirp, chirp, chirp. So, all right. So, Scott, you go in, you enter in, and, you know, you walk underneath. So let me ask this question. Is your first choice, as you head in the Magic Kingdom, you can do one of two things. You can head down Main Street, or you can get on the train, the Walt Disney World Railroad. Which one do you do? Do you start going down Main Street, or do you get on the railroad?
Oh, I absolutely go down Main Street.
Me too.
Yes.
Well, I enjoy the railroad. We'll get to another point where I like to actually get on the railroad. Yeah, I like to. I like to head in, and get that. You know, I want to see the castle. And I like to walk down Main Street and kind of take my time looking in the windows at everything.
Yes.
That's just fun to do that. I never feel like I necessarily want to rush. You know, on the left side, if you walk towards the castle, you have that long store called the Emporium. On the right side, you have there used to be a bakery there, but now it's a Starbucks where they sold those great Nestle Toll House cookies. And there's like a glass maker there. There's a place you can get a hat. There's two interesting things when you walk in. One is to the right, there's a place called Town Hall, and to the left is that fire station. Where that said, where Walt Disney would have had his apartment while they were building. And one of the cool things that we saw there on Main Street one time, and then they don't have it anymore, was this was maybe around, I'm trying to think, probably 15 years ago. They had a talking Mickey in there inside City Hall. And you went in and you went down a little hallway, and there was Mickey in a dressing room. And it's the kind of Mickey that you would like take your picture with, right? But this Mickey's mouth actually moved and words came out of his mouth. And Mickey did card tricks. Like had like, you know, think of like Harlem Globetrotter type of deck of cards. You know, he had big cards and magic wand, and it looked like he was in a dressing room about to do a magic act. And it was just really cool. But I know it's not there anymore. And that was one of the cooler Main Street experiences I have.
I don't remember that. So on Main Street, I'm a sucker for Casey's. I'm always going to go to Casey's and see what kind of strange and unusual hot dog experience I can have. So we almost always go, you know where I'm talking about, yes?
Yeah, if you're walking down Main Street towards the castles, on the end of Main Street on the left.
Yes. And
Well, next
just
to the Crystal Palace.
Fantastic hot dogs there. And so that's somewhere I always go when I'm in there. I'll also like the Emporium experience. One of my most I guess sentimental memories on Main Street is when we only had our first two daughters. We went to we were just had just I don't know if we had just come into the park or we were getting ready to leave the park or what it was, but we came up there and you said it's City Hall's to the left, isn't it?
City Hall's to the right,
Okay.
and then there's a customer service area to the left over by the fire department.
Okay. So, City Hall, there's a handicap access ramp, and toward the back of it, there is a, I guess, where characters go into the off lot, you know, behind the scenes areas of Disney. And so we had, when Harper was little, she loved Snow White, and so we're walking, and Snow White just happens to pop out there. There's nobody around. And so Harper and Delia was probably 2 years old, just you know, pretty new to walking and stuff. And we've got this, and iPhones at that point are still relatively new technology. And so we've got this video of them like dancing with Snow White, just the two of them, and there's nobody else around except for, you know, the attendant who was with Snow White. And it's just a really cool memory. So, but
Cool.
yes, we always go down Main Street, mostly because my wife wants to go ahead and get the picture taken of us all standing in front of the castle. So,
I know the boys ate at Casey's one time and enjoyed it when they were younger. My wife and I don't eat beef.
right.
But what we like there's a great smelling ice cream place on the get to the end of Main Street, turn right. The ice cream. I actually never had ice cream from there, but they pump out an artificial waffle smell right there to get you to go in. And but next to that is one of my favorite restaurants. It's really small. You wouldn't even know it's there. Have you eaten at the Plaza restaurant?
Yes.
I
Yes.
really I think it's basic food, but it's like hot dogs, hamburgers, tuna fish sandwich, but it's good. And then there's a like a people are dressed like it's the turn of the century, 1900, and like a mayor comes in, I think once an hour, and awards someone like the golden key for the day of the city or of Main Street. But I like that little restaurant. You have definitely have to have a reservation to get in there, but it's so centrally located. That if you get a restaurant there or a reservation there, it's just easy to get to it and then get back to what you're doing.
Right.
I've never actually eaten at the Crystal Palace. I know there's some Winnie the Pooh character stuff over there, but so usually for me, it depends. Like I want to say like I always go a certain way, but I don't. Depending on what the trip is or really what I want to see, I'll either take a right to Tomorrowland first or go to Adventureland. I'm a huge, if I had to pick one of these lands, Tomorrow, Fantasy, Adventure, Frontierland, I think Adventureland's my favorite. I know we talked about that before. Adventureland is just it's a lush land with, it's very green. It's got the Jungle Cruise. It's got, Pirates of the Caribbean. It's got the Treehouse. It's got Aladdin's carpets, which I actually have never done that with the spitting camels. It's got the Dole Whip in there. It's got the Tiki Room. I just really like Adventureland. I think any of these lands, I feel like right away I'm at Disney. Like there's like I think any one of those lands you can choose and you feel like right away you're there. Does that make sense?
It does. And by the way, I use the same strategy, just depending on if we're staying in Magic Kingdom, if we're doing 2 days in Magic Kingdom, usually on day one, we'll go left and start with Adventureland. And if on the second day, we'll go right and start with Tomorrowland. And just kind of, so if it's a 2 day, we'll do Adventureland, Frontierland, Fantasyland, or half, I guess I should say, because there's four lands unless you count Main Street USA. Is that correct?
Yeah, I guess technically Main Street counts as a land. I don't really count it as a land, but to me it's four lands.
So we usually we'll do Adventureland, Frontierland, part of Fantasyland, then the next day Tomorrowland, and the other part of Fantasyland is kind of our approach, I think. Is usually how we do it. See, almost every trip we try to do 2 days at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, me too. I always want the most time at Magic Kingdom of all the parks. Right. And if I always had it my way, I would always start mm-hmm. with the Magic Kingdom and always end with the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
But I think what I like about Adventureland is of those five attractions there, Pirates, Treehouse, and Jungle Cruise, all of which I really like. Mm-hmm. I love that all of those are long rides.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like if you wait on any of those, you really get the amount of time in return back on the attraction
uh-huh.
that you spend uh-huh. waiting. Brandy doesn't love the Jungle Cruise. Some people don't because the hosts are kind of hokey with their jokes.
Right.
But if you get the right Jungle Cruise tour guide, it can really mm-hmm. be a lot of fun.
I think it's
fun. Even though there's Animal Kingdom where you can play real animals, Jungle Cruise to me is still a lot of fun. I love Pirates. I love walking into Pirates. I love waiting in line in Pirates because the queue just sets the tone. And mm-hmm. the cool thing about waiting for Pirates is there's all these kind of little hallways and stairways mm-hmm. that seemingly go off to somewhere else that really don't. But
right.
it gets your imagination going, like, I wonder if I walked down there, what would be down there? Or there'd right. be like a prison gate right there. Like, I wonder how far that goes back.
Well,
go ahead.
You know, that, so, and I know that we're talking Adventureland at this point, but that's one of the reasons I love Space Mountain so much too, is the wait. I love the queue. And those are probably, those two and Haunted Mansion are my favorite queues.
The Haunted Mansion queue is great. It's actually not the queue to get into Space Mountain that I love the most. It's walking out of Space Mountain, but we'll get back to that when we get over to Tomorrowland.
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to love too. There's Adventureland's kind of a cool area because you can, when you're in there, there's a passageway directly into Frontierland
mm-hmm.
on your right.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can kind of walk down the straight and it kind of gets narrower. It like mm-hmm. goes behind where the Country Bear Jamboree is.
Right.
And one of my favorite places that's not there anymore is they used to have this small little hut that just sold McDonald's French fries. And that's all they sold was McDonald's French fries. It was a great spot, and it's where it comes out right into channels you right into Splash Mountain, which is now becoming Tiana's Bayou Adventure. That's where that little hut was. But mm-hmm. I don't know. I just Adventureland's a cool thing. I like how we can go take you. Oh, you know what? We forgot the land we didn't mention, Scott, is Liberty Square.
Yeah, that was I was coming back to that, and so yeah, But well, let's keep going our path around the park. We'll come back to Liberty Square because I'm assuming we're going to go Adventureland, Frontierland, Liberty Square, Fantasyland, Tomorrowland.
Yeah, and so let's hit just the we're gonna call it Splash Mountain because Tiana's Bayou Adventure is not open yet. So there we have Splash Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad,
mm-hmm.
Tom Sawyer Island.
Mm-hmm.
And the Country Bear Jamboree.
Yes, in front
of is there anything I'm missing there? And I don't think
not it. That I know of. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm going to tell you right now, the only ride in Disney that I've never ridden is Splash Mountain.
Really?
Really.
That's a great ride. It's one of those rides that's very similar to me with Jungle Cruise and Pirates where you're going to wait a while, but you're going to be on there for like 8 minutes. Or, you know, I can look up how long that is exactly, but it's a ride that has, I think you actually have three drops in that,
uh-huh.
Culminating with that huge drop at the end, which gives you a great view of the castle and the Haunted Mansion. Just so much. I also love that ride, Splash Mountain, because once you do the big final drop, you come down and then you go back into the mountain before the ride ends. So even after the climax, there's still more, which I think is really cool.
So the reasoning behind that has always been we just don't want to walk around wet.
You know, you really – I've been on Splash Mountain many times, and I think I've only come off of Splash Mountain one time wet. Because if you sit in the front, you're probably going to get a little bit wet. But, like, I mean, there's one time I convinced Brandy to go on there. She doesn't want to be wet, and she doesn't like this big drop. So I convinced her to go on there with me. Well, there's one spot where if your boat stalls, there's this little stream of water that will just hit you directly. Mm-hmm. Of course, we got stalled right there, and the stream of water was just, like, pelting us. And that was the last time Brandy went on the Splash Mountain with me. But generally, especially if you sit more towards the back, you're not going to get very wet.
I'll try to keep that in mind when they reopen it.
Yeah, I would definitely, if you sit towards the back, towards the front, you're going to get a little bit, but it's really not as much as you think. Let's see.
So Big Thunder Mountain, tremendous. Love Big Thunder Mountain.
Big Thunder Mountain is incredible.
Yeah, it's a great ride. I really do. I've always loved it. I'm Country Bear Jamboree is one that I remember from all the way back to the original trip to Disney. It's near and dear to my heart. I believe that is also closing, or at least being retooled.
Yeah, it is. Brady absolutely loves the Country Bear Jamboree. I'm not a fan. I think it's in need of a retool because it's hard to hear what they're saying. It is the same characters, been the same characters, and I like the animals on the side. We were walking by last time we were there 2 years ago. We were walking by the front of Frontierland, and they have like balconies up top, and the bears are up there waving. Mm-hmm. And Brandy gave him the heart motion with her hands, and mm-hmm. the bears did it back to her. That's just great. Made her day. She's a huge fan of that. The only thing I love Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. It's fast, it's curvy. There's really no big drops. Mm-hmm. The only thing that is a little bit, it's so loud.
It is loud.
The clicking sound when you're going up is pulling you up on that ride. It is so loud. But the interesting thing is that I think that Big Thunder Mountain Railroad is actually best viewed from the Disney Railroad because it moves so fast and turns so fast. There's a whole story going on there. And it's really best seen if you get on the Walt Disney World Railroad right there by Splash Mountain, and you take the train, which doesn't go terribly fast. You really can see more of the story going on there.
Agreed. Now, Tom Sawyer's Island is one that surprises me that it has not been revamped for multiple reasons. You know, I have some memories of it, some nostalgia stuff. I still, even as an adult, get a little bit, kind of freaked out going through the caves there.
Really?
Nothing major. It's just a neat experience. I mean, in a good way. I don't mean that in a bad way.
Okay.
It's just you kind of feel the, oh man, it's closing in, that kind of thing. But given that Mark Twain is a somewhat controversial author at this point in our history, given the nature of the story of Tom Sawyer, and given Disney's proclivity to not want to ever offend anybody with anything, I'm surprised it's still there. It really does surprise me. Add that to the fact that it's not very entertaining to the youth of today.
Yeah, I think for us, and this is from the official Disney World website. It says, wander dusty roads lined with tall trees, explore whirling mills, amble across creaky suspension bridges, navigate narrow passages and secret mine caves, and uncover a frontier fort.
Uh-huh.
I love it. I mean, to me, it's just like a dream as a kid to just, the fort has like a secret passage you can exit.
Yes.
And that's fun to find. The caves are pretty dark.
Yeah.
There's like a kind of like a barrel bridge you walk over on some water. And not to mention you take a log raft over there.
Yeah.
to me, it's just it's a lot of fun. But you're right, it may be lost. It used to be really just this oasis, and maybe it still is, of just like I need a little bit of time away from the crowds. I'm gonna get in this raft that's gonna travel maybe 30 yards, and it's gonna take me to this place that always seems really quiet.
Yeah, it does. It truly does. And that's been the case every trip that I've been there. And I do feel like that for us, it's the professional equivalent of when we used to go out in the woods as kids and build forts.
It's exactly what it is. And it's the same reason why, and going back to Adventureland, why the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse, same type of thing. You're crossing bridges made of wood, handcrafted wooden stairs, just looking in at the wooden quarters and using your imagination. And also the same thing is you can really spend as much time as you want there. And I think that's the cool things at Disney are the ones that will, and by the way, Splash Mountain's 11 minutes, if I didn't say that. Which that's a huge payoff for your amount of weight. Whereas like the Goofy Barnstormer we'll get to is like 27 seconds. But I love the payoff, which is why I like the railroad too. I always like to get on the railroad and go around the backside of the park from Frontierland. And I like to get off in Tomorrowland and just kind of see the back arc of the park. But I think Tom Sawyer Islands, I'm glad they haven't changed the name of it. I think it's a lot of fun. I like to make a point to go there every time that I'm there.
Yeah, I do too. I think that the first time my kids went there with me, it was kind of like, what are we supposed to do? But I think they've started to embrace that a little bit more. We live on about 6 acres of and the majority of which is wooded here in Kershaw, and so they've come to appreciate the outdoors a little bit more. So,
Scott always likes to take the chance to bring up that 6 acres as compared to my 1/4 of an acre.
Right. Yes.
Rubbing it in.
But Steve has a mule, and I don't. So, just want to point that out. But anyway,
To the homeowners association that may be listening, that's not a mule, it's a large dog.
yeah. Okay. Air quotes. So, here's my question to you. Because somebody has to keep track of these things. We are at the 52-minute mark.
Are we
I didn't
really?
know. Are we trying to cover all lands in our a lot of time here? Are we going to have random questions with
Let's just let's finish out with Frontierland and Tom Sawyer Island, and then let's go into some couple quick random questions for you.
Okay, and then next time we'll do Liberty Square, Fantasyland, and Tomorrowland. Because I imagine
Absolutely.
we won't have the long introduction next time talking about why how we
Right.
got into the podcasting. So we should be able to cover that a little bit easier. Okay, so yeah, so my take, Tom Sawyer is it surprises me every time I go that it's still there. That would be my take. I enjoy it. I also enjoy also, and I don't know if is the riverboat part of Liberty Square, or is that part of Frontierland?
I think that's part of Liberty Square, because you enter
Yeah, that's
from
right.
right there by
That's
the
right.
Haunted Mansion.
Okay. So yeah. So that yeah, that's kind of the my take. Frontierland. I also want to say this about Frontierland. On one of the okay, so you know how there's the side of the street that has Country Bear and the shooting gallery, which is also an amazing thing at
Yeah,
Frontierland.
I love that. I'll do that
The
every
shooting
time.
gallery is fantastic. But on the little carts on the other side, the vendor carts,
Oh, we'll get a churro.
at one of them they sell candied bacon,
Yes.
which is outstanding. It is absolutely outstanding. If
Also a good place. I got a churro at one of those carts last time we were there. Have you eaten at Pecos
Are
Bill's,
good
which
as
is right
well.
there?
Yes, love Pecos Bills.
Yeah, Pecos Bill's is pretty good. It's funny. On the 20th time I went to Disney, it was probably the first time I've eaten a Pecos Bill, but it was really good. It's one of those places that Disney does a great job of disguising how enormous it is on the inside.
They sure
Because from
do,
the
because it
outside,
is
it doesn't.
huge.
Yeah, you think it's not that big, but once you go in there, there's seating everywhere.
Yeah, there really is. There really is. It's not my favorite restaurant in Disney, but it is good.
Well, it's just is it in the Magic Kingdom, your favorite restaurant?
Well, that's what I probably have a favorite at each different park, but
Is
my
Casey's your
favorite,
favorite?
what?
Is Casey's your favorite of Magic Kingdom?
No, Casey's is not my favorite. No, my favorite is Liberty Tree Tavern.
I've never eaten. I've been in there. I was a few times at the Christmas, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas, and gotten the cookies and stuff. But I don't think I've ever eaten in there. That's the one where they have Thanksgiving. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, I
Oh,
need to eat there.
it's outstanding. I love it. And it's family style, so you just get like big bowls of food
Oh, that sounds
and you
great.
yeah, I love it. Now, it's not my family's favorite. But it was mine by far.
Are
So
you
if I was ever to
su
go to Disney by myself, I would definitely make reservations at the Liberty Tree Tavern.
I'm gonna stay right now on one of our summertime road trips over the next couple of years. We're gonna have to hit. Maybe it won't be in the summer because it's crowded, but we'll have to go there and have a meal at the Harbor House, the Columbia Harbor
Across from
House,
the
I think it's
Haunted
called.
Mansion.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's go into some random questions now, and we will come back. We'll do Magic Kingdom Part Two. By the way, my favorite restaurant. I like Cosmic Rays.
Oh, I love Cosmic Rays too. That would be number two.
Cosmic Rays has a really good rotisserie chicken there, and they have a Cosmic Ray himself is very entertaining. There was one time we were in there the night we went to one of Mar the Merry Very Merry Mickey's Very Merry Christmas party. We didn't know it was coming, but like it hit 6 o'clock and we were eating dinner there and we had tickets to stay. All of a sudden, Ray lowers down, and up comes a completely different DJ, Christmas themed. And then a bunch of Disney characters just appeared, and this impromptu dance party broke out, and it was just great. I've never had a bad meal there. I know the kids like the hamburgers, the fries are good. They have carrots if you want them, that are cooked that are good. I've never had a bad meal at Cosmic Rays, and it's just a great location right there on the edge of Tomorrowland, going into Fantasyland. All right, it's actually getting dark outside here now. I'm sure it's dark where you are.
It is. It is dark now.
We'll just keep these to three brief random questions. I'll leave the longest one for last. So Scott, what makes a better pet, a turtle or a fish?
I'm going to go with a turtle because you can actually hold it.
And that ends that question. Okay. Thought there'd be a little bit more to that.
I like to, so with turtles, like I'm a sucker around here. We have to stop our car often to grab a turtle and move it off to the side of the road. Otherwise he's going to be turtle soup. And I've grown to love turtles in my time here in Kershaw because we see a good number of them. And so I like to, I was kind of weirded out by turtles before I became a rural country boy. And I really enjoy just everything about them now. So, I mean, how do you answer that question?
I've had fish briefly. I've
Fish.
never had a fish for a long time. I think a turtle would be more fun because you could seemingly bond with the turtle more. Do a little bit more with it. Fish don't tend to live too long. So I would go turtle. I would love to have one of those giant, tortoises in my backyard.
Yes.
One of those ones that
Agreed.
those things live like 180 years. It's a great pet. Maybe go through like 10 generations of your family.
Yeah, and I mean, how much effort would there really be in upkeep, I
Right,
just
I'll take them
they're
for a
just
walk.
it's low maintenance.
Their metabolism is like nothing. All right, so here we go. Just two more questions. The last one will be the longest one. So I was watching England versus Brazil today in soccer, and it's a friendly, which means it's not a competitive match or qualifying for the World Cup. A big game like that is played at Wembley Stadium in London. Brazil has, I don't know the name of it, but they have a stadium in Rio, which is like their national stadium. And the team in Mexico is going to have a big game. It's going to be played at El Azteca in Mexico City. So, Scott, what is America's stadium in your opinion?
What is America's stadium, in my opinion?
And I have an answer that I'll give after you give yours.
Oof, let's see.
It's hard because when you think about this, we have different sports have different stadiums. They're older stadiums, aren't around anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
It
would
still has to
it
be in existence. I'll say that.
What about the Rose Bowl?
That's exactly what I would say. I
Yeah.
would go with the Rose Bowl. To me, that's America's stadium. It's a gorgeous old stadium in a great setting. It's
Yeah.
a stadium worthy of holding a big event there.
Yeah.
I know they're gonna have. I think the World Cup final in a couple of years is gonna be at MetLife Stadium in New York. But I mean, does that stadium being in the Meadowlands, is that really exciting?
No, nothing excites me about the Meadowlands unless
Yeah,
we start
no.
talking about Jimmy Hoffa. So,
And for legal reasons, we know we can't go any further. Any more words we say on that will be under investigation.
agreed. So,
Okay, so Scott, here's the question that you're kind of bringing up earlier. I think you and I both have a good understanding of this. You, of course, because you've lived in South Carolina your entire life. I've lived in both North and South Carolina, but not nearly as long as you. Help our listeners understand what's the difference between those two states? And as someone from South Carolina, why do you not like North Carolina?
Well, Stephen,
What say you, Sam Lapper?
I feel like this is, I mean, you just opened up an entire podcast. So the difference between the two is that South Carolina is great and North Carolina is garbage. So that's, I mean, that's the primary difference.
I don't support that, but okay.
South Carolina is, it's everything. I know that lots of people grow up and can't wait to get away from where it was that they grew up. They want to move. Some have aspirations to move as far away as they possibly can. I like to visit other places. I like to travel. I like to travel globally, not just not even just within the United States. But I have never had a strong desire to leave South Carolina at any point. It is everything that I want, it has. It is small, but not too small. It is filled with history. Some of it bad, but name me a state that doesn't have some pretty terrible history. It is very, it is a very libertarian-minded state. It is very much to own, run, and have success at running a business, which I have done for many years now. It is friendly. It is beautiful. It is, oh, just so many different things that I could say that I just truly love. North Carolina, on the other hand, I can really just say Charlotte and stop, but they also, I don't. You know, the haughtiness of the research triangle, the history that is just pretty terrible with their indecision. They can't really decide whether they're a red state or a blue state. They seem to want to lean liberally now, but yet this is a state that elected Jesse Helms to the Senate almost as many times as we elected Strom Thurmond. But we embrace our identity, whereas they don't. They have Charlotte, if I didn't already say that. For a while, they had the Charlotte Bobcats. They have the Carolina Panthers, which I don't understand that. We don't want them. Just call them the Charlotte Panthers. You don't have to, you know, lean our way with any favoritism.
In case most of our listeners don't know, Charlotte is right up. It's on the border of North and South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, you can be in – I-77 runs through downtown Charlotte. I think at exit 5, you're in downtown Charlotte already. It's pretty much.
Well, you're on the outskirts because that's exit 5, I believe, is Tavola.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
but
you got a little bit further to go to get to downtown.
How about we get to exit 7, get you to South Park? How about that?
There you go. We can do that.
I forgot about that. Tavola Road. All right, let me back you up a couple of things real quick. Well, first, I like both North and South Carolina. But I will agree with Scott in many things, and this is my feeling on South Carolina. I'd always wanted to live there because we always vacationed in Hilton Head Island, and like Scott, I like to travel to different places. But there's something about South Carolina in the feel of being there and the way the people are. If you watch things in the local media, or not local media, but the national media, it gives the impression that South Carolina is this very ultra conservative place. Which I think is not true. I think people have conservative values, but I've never seen someone with those values ever treat anyone ugly that disagreed Correct. With them. Correct. So I think in that sense, like South Carolina is a place that is, it like you said, it has an identity, but at the same time, it's welcoming to other things.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I lived in South Carolina for 5 years, having lived in Rock Hill, Somerville, and Seneca. It's the place that I always enjoyed coming home to the most. When I went somewhere else, I was always happy to be back in South Carolina. Now, I love Georgia. I lived in Georgia for over 20 years. But South Carolina has that something to it, that when you go back, you know you're there. It has a different feel to it. It's not as wide as North Carolina is. In parts of North Carolina, you can feel like it's almost weird. In parts of North Carolina, from county to county, you can feel like you're in the Mid-Atlantic or the Mid-South or the Deep South. Mm-hmm. Wherever you are in South Carolina, and you know you're there. Whether mm-hmm. if you're in Oconee County, you're in Charleston County, or you're in Dillon, mm-hmm. you always feel like mm-hmm. you're in South Carolina. It's always been, you know, when I went to the University of Georgia. Andy Connolly is one of my best friends. He's from Spartanburg, but there's no doubt that, like, one of the reasons why there's an immediate bond there, like, if you've ever lived in South Carolina, you have a bond with someone else who's lived there. And it's different from any other state. Mm-hmm. I can meet someone from Atlanta. You lived in Atlanta? Yeah, I lived in Atlanta. Oh, I lived for 20 years. Hey, that's great. You start talking to someone from South Carolina, you're likely going to be able to figure out some kind of connection you have with someone else there by just talking it through.
Agreed.
Or you'll have a similar experience. Like, you know, things like you know, if someone grew up in South Carolina, they've been to the Carolina Cup. Unfortunately, there's a big misnomer of people who are from other parts of the country that drive through South Carolina only on I-95. Mm-hmm. And because there's not much in I-95, they think there's nothing in the whole state.
Right.
Which is so not true. Which in the northern part of the state, you know, you can go to Caesar's Head at the highest elevation of, like, I think it's 3,500 feet maybe, somewhere around there. One of the prettiest views you can see in the United States is from Caesar's Head looking back at South Carolina. Uh-huh. There's a church there. You've probably been there. At Caesar's Head, where just like the mm-hmm. basically where the preacher would stand, the back of it's just wide open.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't hate North Carolina. I think South Carolina is, of all the places, I hope I get to live there again because I miss it. It's been a long time now. When we moved in 2006, I always thought we'd be back there by now. But I always, every year I lived there, I always enjoyed it. And I've always wanted to get back.
Well, I feel like at this point that I need to say challenge accepted.
What challenge is that?
Of getting you back in South Carolina. I mean, I've got 6 acres. I'm not opposed to, you know, cutting off 3 of them and giving them to you.
I could put my tiny house on there.
We could, well, the tiny house could be our studio.
Well, that's what, oh, now we're talking compound.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. Which is, you know, something we also don't have many of in South Carolina, which we people probably think we do. So, anyway.
Now, all right, I'll just have this look at it. That said, I think there are areas around Asheville and places like Brevard, North Carolina, they're absolutely wonderful. Anyway, we can get that another episode, but pretty good explanation, Scott. Very good, spot on about North Carolina versus South Carolina.
So now it's time before we run out of time, which we already exceeded our limit.
We're 10 minutes over our budget.
Okay. So Mike Schmidt leads the Phillies in multiple categories. He is the all-time leader in multiple categories. I would like for you to name five categories that he leads the Phillies in, but only two of them can be your obvious ones.
The obvious ones would have to be home runs and RBIs.
Yes. Those are correct. Okay. So what else? What, name three other stats that he is the leader in.
Strikeouts?
Yes.
Let me think here. Walks?
Yes.
Okay.
Give me one more.
Okay, this is the tricky one. The one I was debating on was runs scored. I don't know if that counts.
That is correct. He is leader in runs scored. You could have also said games played.
Okay.
At-bats.
At-bats was the other one I was thinking of.
Plate appearances. Sacrifice flies. Total bases. And outs.
Okay.
So
fielding percentage is,
it didn't get that far down, drill down that far. So possibly, but on the page that I'm looking at, it didn't.
I would
that.
Guess he's probably the leader in gold gloves for the team too. If I had to.
Yeah, I would think so too. So, hey, my friend.
All right.
I consider this podcast conquered.
We're going to consider this a success tonight.
Yes.
And we'll be back with.
By way of a peace offering to the state of North Carolina, let me close the podcast by saying North Carolina Tar Heels 85, Michigan State Spartans 69.
Excellent. Hey, Chapel Hill is a great town, by the way.
Yes.
Podcast it another
is,
time though.
It is a jewel in the rough.
But the town of Durham, specifically the Duke campus, is trash. Is absolutely trash.
It is absolute garbage. That. Yes. Yes. That's 100% correct. So, anyway. All right, sir.
All right.
We will conclude our Magic Kingdom tour on the next episode of The Nexus of Pop Culture and Jerry Red.
Stay tuned. And with spring break coming up for Steve, there could be multiple episodes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes. We are setting the bar high.
Take
care.
All right. Good night.